This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we got started and you heard that part of the episode, I was talking with Avril about the area he selected, which was a forest, to look into. And he mentioned that we had Sasquatch there, but not so much other events. How does one look into something like that if he's going back there to see if there's a possibility this is a portal? What should he do?
This is for Chris, right?
Yeah, for Chris.
Oh, me?
You're on.
Well, I don't know. Bring an extra change of underwear.
Check.
And have, you know, no lust for result, no expectations. You know, always be vigilant. Mark out your campsite very carefully with, you know, tin cans and fish line or whatever type of motion sensing equipment that you have battery life for, because you want an early warning system. There's a bunch of things. To me, it's like looking for a needle in a stack of needles. You know, that's why a lot of these shows, I can't believe that people take them seriously, because the least likely time that you're going to find a Bigfoot or encounter a Bigfoot is when you're looking for one. And that would be my biggest argument against the authenticity of the Gimlin Patterson film, for instance. The very fact that they were out there looking for a Bigfoot and found one and were able to film it rings alarm bells in my mind. It's invariably the last thing on your mind is when you generally encounter these creatures. And the same not every UFO sighting, of course, but I've seen plenty of UFOs when I've been out looking for them. But with Bigfoot, it's different. There seems to be it's almost like they can pick up on your intentions or something, that they have some weird sixth sense that allows them to avoid people who are out looking for them. You do hear accounts of people stumbling on them and the Bigfoot looks as surprised as the person feels. Mm-hmm. But they're an exception. Generally, it's a Bigfoot revealing himself and allowing you to see him or her. It tends to be more, at least, you know, and I'm generalizing here a little bit, obviously, but my sense is they reveal themselves when they feel the time is right and the particular person is right for some reason. That's why I think that there's a snowball's chance in hell that Matt Moneymaker or any of these people that are seen banging trees on TV are ever going to really have a true encounter. I think we have a lot of feigned drama going on. Not having seen any of the shows, I really can't tell you that for sure, but that would be my guess.
I've got one thing to say about this business of tree knocking and calling for responses. And I did that a couple of times with my boys in the early days. Just kind of for fun, just goofing around. But I stopped doing that. I stopped doing both of those things because one day it just dawned on me, I have no idea what I'm saying. You know, if this is a form of communication, maybe a tree knock is, there's a deer down over here. And then one comes over expecting a deer down and they see me and they say, well, it doesn't look very appetizing, but I guess it'll do. So that's just to say that, you know, let's be careful about speaking a foreign language when we have no idea what it is we're trying to say, what it is we're saying out loud, you know.
That's a really good point. And I guess if you're doing it aggressively, you might be asking for trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it could be males being territorial, saying, stay out of this area. And so you're there screaming. You know, that's taken as a threat to another male in a family group. You know, you don't want to be on the wrong side of that encounter.
No.
Me, what you said earlier about stealth being the wiser path is something that I really decided was true. And finding Bigfoot is fine so long as it goes. I mean, it's entertaining. The most compelling part of the show to me are the witness encounters. They've talked to over 90, by my estimation. I mean, they've done over 90 episodes, and in every episode, there's probably 35 people that raise their hands and tell their stories. And to me, that's the best part of the show, is hearing these people's their encounter stories. But they never seem to get any closer to the goal. One, I think, because they've never, that I can tell, never spend more than a week in one place. Whatever you think of Patterson-Gimlin, you know, they had been out almost 2 weeks on horseback when they shot the footage of Patty.
Right.
You know, finding Bigfoot folks, they're in a state park for one night, and well, didn't find it. Now it's raining, so we got to
exactly.
go. Or, you know, it started raining, so we turned in for the night, and now we're on to Georgia and the next place, you know. So their goal is not to find Bigfoot. Their goal is to get the next episode in the can and get on to the next. You know, there's a very clear formula for it, and it's fine. But, you know, we're now 5 or 6 years into this, and, you know, some episodes are better than others. They've gotten a little bit of thermal footage, the occasional vocalization, but that doesn't, where does that really get us? You know, where does that move the needle on proving that they exist to have one more episode where you can just barely hear a faint little call in the distance? And that, you know, that to me, that lends ammunition to the skeptics that say, well, they didn't find it again, did they? You know, so I would prefer, you know, if I were the producer of that show, I would send them into a national forest and leave them there for about 4 months.
A few people I'd like to do that with. You know, you're tempting me right now. I can think of a few people I've associated with over the years, and those associations have not been as friendly as I'd like. And that's nobody's sweat, nobody's pain. It's not your fault or anything. Things happen. And I think I'd like to maybe do that. I'm not a violent person. Remember that. It's just a casual wish. Or as someone once said, make it so.
There's a group that you're probably aware of called the North American Wood Ape Conservancy. They actually did a 2-year study in a valley in far eastern Oklahoma near the Arkansas border. They did a study of this one area. It was on private property, and they refer to it as Area X. And the same group has done extensive research in Sam Houston National Forest and in the Big Thicket National Preserve, a few miles east of Sam Houston. They've labeled those areas Area X, Area Y, and Area Z. But in Area X in Oklahoma, they did I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was something like either a 2 or 4 year stakeout of this valley, and got some, you know, remarkable results. It took, you know, thousands of man hours of sitting around watching these thermal screens at night, and they still didn't get any proof. You know, they're a kill organization. They will call it a pro science organization, but their objective is to harvest a specimen, because that is the only way science will ever acknowledge the existence of the species. And they took some shots. They took 2 shots out there, and they found a blood trail from where they had hit one of these things, but they couldn't recover the body. Anyway, that's just to say that there are investigators out there who are in it for the long haul and are putting in the time. And there were multiple people, and they would switch out. They would do this in shifts. You know, a team of 4 guys would go out there for 2 weeks on their vacations, spend their vacations freezing in a pop-up tent with black plastic around it, looking through thermal scopes. And then they would go back to work, and another 4 guys would come out there and do 2 weeks. And so off and on for something like 4 years, they studied this area, and they produced a 200-page report. And they had something like 48 sightings in that time. But when you divide that number into the amount of man hours that they were out there looking, it's incredible. It's something like a 1 second sighting for every 35 hours of man hours of looking, or something like that. Yeah. I've got the statistic in the book. But
let's do the break. Wow. Okay, a lot of time to spend there with Gene and Chris and Avril. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can, and you don't even have to go out of your way. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com. Created by a team of dedicated pajama experts, the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny, like cashmere, only better. She'll love the way the world's softest pajamas feel, and you'll love the way they look. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation to relax a little longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and give her a gift that keeps on giving to both of you. Plus, you don't even have to wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, and Christmas delivery is guaranteed. So visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Avril Seal is author of Monster Hike, a 100-mile inquiry into the Sasquatch mystery. As we progress the final segments of the show, do you think that things you expected to see and or learn were unlearned or were different than what you expected?
Well, You know, I have a different view on that forest. I have not been back. I will go back. I want to go back, but I just haven't had this. This was only this time last year that I was out there. The whole question of whether these creatures are dangerous or not is way more prominent in my mind than it used to be. At one time, after the point at which I pretty much accepted that they existed, I, like most people, consider them these reclusive, gentle giants who were always retreating from our view. You know, you were lucky if you ever got a glimpse of one. After hearing some stories, hearing a lot of stories over the last couple of years, it's not at all clear to me anymore that that's their nature. And it's entirely possible that they're extremely violent and extremely dangerous. And that is something that I can't unlearn. And so I don't think I can ever go out there again with the same kind of outlook that I had in the early trips that I took before I had done quite so much research about them. There was an innocence. You know, there's a chapter of the book called East of Eden. And I think, you know, there was a sort of innocence about my early travels out there and about most people's travels out there that they don't consider the possibilities that these things, if they're out there, and if you're out there and they're out there, they have 100% control of the situation, unless you're heavily armed, you know, with a submachine gun or something like that. They have all the power in that relationship. I mean, as a society, we have the power. As a species, we have the power, clearly. We've dominated the Earth. We've been to the moon, etc. But on a one-to-one basis, in isolation in the wilderness, they have 100% of the power. That's frightening. You know, that's kind of a gut check in the middle of the night when you hear something moving around your campsite. That's fear at a primal level that I had never experienced before. It colors the way you think about nature, camping, the outdoors, all the things that most people just associate with, you know, 100% positivity. Now there's a little asterisk on all of that for me. And I'm heads up. You know, I don't go out there armed like a lot of guys do. I'm not anti-gun in that way, but I just don't go out there with that. I didn't take a gun on this trip. There were times I wish I had. There were times when I was out there when I was like, I should have brought a gun, period. But I didn't, and I made it through. And I think, Chris, it goes to your point about intention. That was kind of in the back of my head, is like this thought of we sort of attract what we prepare for. I don't know if this is just, you know, New Age nonsense or if this law of attraction is a real thing, but I debated, and I actually shopped for guns, and debated on this question of whether to carry or not out there. And I kind of came down on the side of, one, a gun is heavy, and I was trying to minimize my weight. You know, remember, I'm walking 100 miles here.
Yeah.
With all of my camping stuff on my back. So I was very cognizant of the weight of everything. And B, I thought there was a good chance that I'd – more of a chance – that I wind up shooting myself accidentally than effectively using a firearm against something that had determined it was going to attack me.
Well, yeah, or just you're going to piss it off.
Yeah, right. The common knowledge is that you need about a 50 caliber piece of ammunition to slow one of these things down. Or at least, like you say, it's just kind of feels more like a pellet or an air rifle to them.
Yeah, well, like a bear. I mean, anything smaller than, you know, 30-06 or a big game rifle, hitting it in a vulnerable spot, will just take it off, basically, and, right, and you're dead. And I would think the same would probably hold true with a Bigfoot. I would seriously question anybody that would have the guts to fire a gun at an intelligent humanoid that's between 7 and 10 feet tall. I wouldn't advise it. And the guys at Ape Canyon, I mean, the famous Ape Canyon story is a classic example of what happens when you do wound a Bigfoot. They all come back and they start trying to tear your log cabin down and you know, inundate it with boulders and that sort of thing. And you don't want to tick them off.
It's a bad night.
That would be my number one worry, would be ticking one off. But that comes from personal experience, because I ticked one off. And it was the most terrifying thing that had ever happened to me in my life.
Well, I'd like to hear about that.
Well, you know, I've told the story many times here at the Paracast, but, you know, we were found a logging road that went up to the base of Mount Shasta on the western side. And, you know, like your impenetrable hedges in Texas, we encountered, you know, some mountain huckleberry or some sort of madrona or something, or manzanita type plant that was impenetrable. We smelled something really bad. I admonished my buddy, you know, they better check his drawers. And then whatever it was, it kind of gave a questioning kind of vocalization. And then it screamed at us and started coming through the impenetrable hedge that, you know, you couldn't even get your arm into it. I doubt even with a really good chainsaw that I would have been able to. I mean, we're at 11,000 plus feet in elevation. This is extremely old and tough. Mm-hmm. Plant growth, and this thing is crashing through it.
I think that's what they like, you know. This vision we have of them in this old growth forest with the huge redwoods or whatever, that's fine. But when what you're describing is exactly the kind of thing it was in mile 67 of this hike that I took the photo that's on the cover of this book, that's the 18-inch print. I call it the Magnolia Alpha Male. Because it was in the Magnolia section of the trail. But on either side of the trail, right up to the trail, was this thick monoculture of yaupine. It was a weird area. I looked behind that track for another one, and I looked in front of it for another one, and it didn't leave any other tracks but this one. I'll never forget how weird of an area it was, because it was so thick. I couldn't have gotten myself through that to save my life.
Yeah. And there's no way... There's no way that I could have gotten in. I mean, there were parts of it that were 5-6 feet tall, but it went up to 7-8 feet tall.
Yeah.
And there's just no way that you could have, even with a pair of the sharpest machete, a pair of, you know, real heavy duty loppers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that you could have gotten through this. And what terrified my buddy and I was this thing was going through that hedge right at us.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened the next 20 minutes, half hour, ultrasonic, something blanked me out. We made it the quarter mile back to the van, and we were halfway down the logging road, miles down the road, before I have my first memory in recollection of what happened. I have no memory of getting down the quarter mile to the van, of getting in the van and driving miles down the logging road. I have absolutely no memory whatsoever, and neither does Fritz, my traveling companion.
Gene and Chris, and our special guest this week, April. You're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can, and you don't even have to go out of your way. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com. Created by a team of dedicated pajama experts, the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny, like cashmere, only better. She'll love the way the world's softest pajamas feel, and you'll love the way they look. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation to relax a little longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and give her a gift that keeps on giving to both of you. Plus, you don't even have to wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, and Christmas delivery is guaranteed. So visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning. Texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want to take advantage of a life-changing LASIK offer, pull over when you can, because a special opportunity is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the keyword CLEAR55 to 350350 to get the benefit of FDA-approved LASIK technology that gives the majority of patients 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. When you text CLEAR55 to 350350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just a text away. Text CLEAR55 to 350350. That's C-L-E-A-R 55 to 350350.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So it's almost like missing time, huh, Chris?
Well, I've had people back engineer the experience and say that there was some sort of ultrasonics going on, that they have the ability to rumble you with some sort of extremely low frequencies that trigger your fear center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and your fight or flight. I mean, forget fight. If I had been a bird, I would have flown away.
It's all flight.
Yeah, it was definitely flight. And now that I think about it, I would have responded differently. It's when it gave out the loud vocalization that echoed off the foothills a mile away. That's what really scared me. And it sounded, I've described it many times as sounding like a bull elephant, a lion roaring, and an angry steam engine.
Yeah.
It's the only way that I can describe it. It was so powerful. I'd been in rock and roll bands on and off for 30 years, and I've had my ear burst by Richie Blackmore hitting a high E note on the Made in Japan tour where I lost 50% of my hearing. I have heard loud sounds. I have never heard something that rattled my eardrums like this. It reverberated through my bones. It was so loud. And that's it had quite an impression because I don't even know how long. I don't remember. At least 20 minutes, minimum of 20 minutes, probably longer, that I blanked out and it was on autopilot. And that's scary. I've never, ever been even close to being in that lack of a frame of mind or whatever.
Yeah, that makes it
terrifying.
You said earlier you would do something different. You would respond differently today. I don't know that you would. That's a point I'm trying to make earlier. We're not in control of our response when we have an encounter with one of these things. I just firmly believe that.
No, when I smelled it, I would have instantly gone backwards.
Yeah, I think we're at that point, we're in an animal state of fear, and we don't know the infrasound. This is a very real phenomenon that too many people report this for it to not to be real. But I just don't believe, even knowing all that I know and you know, having the curiosity that I have about this phenomenon. I know, also know that I would not be in control of my reaction were I to have an encounter. We're not in control at that point. It's too primal. It's too frightening.
Yeah.
To gut level of place.
Well, you know, and you have to understand, though, but since then, this was in the early spring of 79. Since then, I've been to some of the most haunted sites in America. I've investigated over, you know, somewhere around 200 cattle mutilations. I've had UFO encounters daylight within 150 yards of me. I've been in some really interesting, freaky places at the right time. With that kind of experience now and seasoning, if you will, mm-hmm. I do think that I would respond in a different way and be able to, you know, the infrasound stuff, you know, I'm not sure about that. The cavalier attitude that we had, I think, that elicited the kind of a very aggressive behavior.
I see.
If I hadn't made the comment, well, you better check your drawers, dude. You know, that cavalier attitude, I think, is for some reason, I don't know, it just seems to me that attitude it picked up on, and it was like, how dare you come up here and disturb me, you know.
Sit down, be humble. That's what it was.
Well,
saying.
Yeah. Well, no, go, you know, let me chase you away as quickly as you can go.
Yeah.
No, there's a difference. I would have been much more alert, much more respectful. I would have gone into stealth mode. I wouldn't have made jokes. In that sort of thing. And who's to say? I mean,
I see your point.
It happens yeah. again, I can't say, really. But I'm a much different person now than I was 40 years ago.
Me too. As are we all.
Yeah, as are we all. So a couple other things I want to talk to you about. What is it about Bigfoot and people making out and having sex? You know, it's an element of Bigfoot encounters that you don't hear much about. I mean, it's mentioned in the literature, but there seems to be a fascination and a preoccupation even, in some sense of the word, of Bigfoot and lover's lanes, people getting it on in their houses, peeping Tom type activity. Is Bigfoot kinky or are people just misinterpreting its interest?
Well, this is not a subject I've ever given any thought to, but I'll venture a theory. You know, I think that there's a lot of evidence to suggest that they are very close to humans, if not hybrids of some sort. And if we have a fascination about a certain subject, then it's they're relatives of ours, and they're likely to have a similar fascination. So it's not a do-as-we-say, not-as-we-do thing.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is because of some, as I mentioned, the DuPont Monster events. Momo near Ellsbury, Missouri, was the initial encounters with Momo in, I think, 77, 78. We're on lover's lanes, and it was spying on kids making out in cars, having sex in the back seats of automobiles. And then a series of events that happened here in Arizona in 2005, where there was a half a dozen sightings of a Bigfoot that was being called in to tribal authorities at the White Mountain Apache reservation up there, as a peeping Tom. And people didn't know who it was that was peeping in the window. They didn't know it was Bigfoot mm-hmm. Until the cops came and then checked, you know, found the footprints and that in other, you know, sign. And it wasn't until the last report, actually, of I think it was six or seven reports, that the officers, when they got the 911 call, they were just driving by the driveway of the person making the call, you know, coincidentally. And so they, you know, they roared up the driveway and their headlights caught the Bigfoot looking in the bedroom window.
Yep.
And they went on, you know, the local network affiliate in Phoenix in their uniforms and talked about the flurry of sightings, showed the reports. They were in their uniforms. they were, you know, for Native Americans to, especially law enforcement, to come forward and admit that they had been investigating a series of sightings of a peeping Tom Bigfoot, that it always struck me. And then, you know, I'm talking with David Childress, my former publisher, and he talks about the DuPont monster that is attracted by the, you know, the wild flailings in the backseats of, mm-hmm. you know, of cars on lovers' lanes. And he mentioned in his book, Sasquatch Giants and Hairy Monsters, or whatever, Hairy Humanoids, how there seems to be an attraction to pheromonal or hormonal activity generated by hot, passionate activities in the back of cars and in bedrooms. And I just bring it up because, you know, I find it very compelling, and there seems to have, there's a ring to that, and I'm not sure what it is.
there's a paradox in this, you know, that on the one hand, they seem hardwired to avoid us. And on the other hand, they have the curiosity that all primates have, you know, let alone humans. They have this curiosity about us, and just like we have a curiosity about them.
Yeah.
And that's what and I think that there's a lot of looking in windows, be it, you know, looking at sex acts or not.
Right. There's a lot of peeping Tom type activity. That's fairly common, actually. You know, I've always thought, you know, thinking about this, which I don't really give it too much thought.
We got a little bit more to come. Final segment. Moving really fast with April Seal and Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
So are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clear, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So Chris was going to start something, and we want to continue with it.
Well, you know, I don't want to sound flippant or anything, but maybe male Bigfoot just don't get enough. Maybe they're cut off, and they're looking for anything that they can get at any particular time. What about females being accosted by Bigfoot? This is a subject that you don't hear about very much. There are reports of this kind. They're pretty rare. I remember, I think, a Sammamish or a Salish Native American story of the fair maiden of the chief or of a, one of the chiefs in the tribe being given, every so many years they offer a maiden to the Bigfoots, who take them away and they're never seen again. Kind of where the King Kong narrative may come from. I've always felt that there was a connection there. But there are some Native American stories that do talk about offering women to Bigfoot for some sort of genetic purpose, one would assume. There are areas of Bigfoot research that I don't think enough thought has been, or at least not enough work has been done, or some sort of research and pondering the subject. And I think part of that is, as you brought up, the whole gene pool aspect to this. We're dealing with a breeding population, and that population is pretty small. So anything with even the slightest bit of intelligence may have a sense that it needs to expand that genetic pool somehow.
Right.
They're not going to be taking trips to visit the wild man in Siberia, the Yeti in the Avram Valley of Nepal. So they got to kind of make do with what they got.
I'm aware of two stories of sexual contact with horses. You talk about, them kind of just being randy sailors.
There's a one or two in yaks, too, in Nepal, I think, or Tibet.
Humans are not too good for that either. This is another similarity, kind of uncomfortable point of comparison and similarity with humans.
It's a concern of a limited breeding population to make sure that the gene pool remains robust. This is not something that many people are willing to even talk about or address in the Bigfoot research community that I'm aware of. I'm a peripheral guy. I don't really, I'm not really plugged into all the ins and outs in conversations that are taking place around this subject, but I have enough of a knowledge to know that this is not mentioned very much at all. And that is, if there's a limited population of just several thousand, let's say, Bigfoot, maybe, I don't know, less than 10,000 in North America. I mean, how do you put a number on that?
That's so hard.
Yeah, but still, we're talking in the thousands here. We're not talking millions. Buffalo, what? They were down below, just barely below 1,000. I think 960-something buffalo were left before they had to save the species, basically, because they were almost extinct. You know, this, to me, would be a real concern. And, of course, then the work of David Pilates comes to mind, of all these women that end up missing in national forests and in national parks. You know, one has to wonder where that robust genetic influx into the gene pool is coming from. And this is not something that, at least I am familiar with. Being bannered about by the mainstream Bigfoot community, if you can call them mainstream.
That's one of my favorite terms, mainstream Bigfoot community. I know what you mean.
You know, what are we dealing with here?
Boy, I did listen to your interview with Jeff Meldrum and the discussion that y'all had about the Ketchum study, which is something that I mentioned in the book. You know, I don't know. I don't have a advanced degree in genetics, and I can't really look into the points at which that study was criticized are kind of a black box to me. I don't pretend to have the scientific background to be able to evaluate that in any kind of objective way. But I do think that just on the surface, it's a credible, the hybridization theory is credible. You know, they have pendulous breasts, e.g. the Patterson-Gimlin film. They have very humanoid feet with a big toe that has migrated completely in line with the others as opposed to the opposable big toe of the great apes. They have a downward-facing nose, unlike the great apes. Their hands are very humanoid. Their faces are very humanoid. They walk upright. So there's a lot of just morphological evidence that, yes, this is something that if it's not half human, it's very close to human on the tree of life.
Right.
And so just on its face, no pun intended, the theory of the hybrid theory has some credibility for me in the face of no other kind of genetic testing that's been done. You know, I kind of give her the benefit of the doubt. As I say in the book, I think she's made some unforced errors in the way that she rolled it out and in kind of the things that she's done since then, like writing a fictional novel about forest people, and I think she's muddied the waters for herself a little bit about
that. That's almost a game ender right there.
Yeah, I mean, but I am not ready to say that there's nothing to that study. So,
but we do have scientists that are willing to look at it. Brian Sykes is an example of someone that's willing to, you know, get beyond the poo-pooing of his colleagues and that sort of thing. And Jeffrey is, in my mind, a real hero in this whole scenario. The guy has more. He's a John Paul Jones, damn the poor torpedoes, full speed ahead kind of guy. And I like that, and I really admire that. And we need more scientists like Jeffrey and like Brian Sykes to throw their hat in the ring and say, hey, look, this is something that needs to be, you know, the powers of diagnostic science need to be thrown at this. So, you know, stop your snickering and let's get busy.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm on a soapbox or anything, but I just get so tired of the ivory towers of science pontificating about something that is relying on basically statistics and relying on the reestablishment of conditions for experimentation. And this whole thing of we're objective, we're not subjective. And it's like we now know that everything is subjective. Hello, the very fact that you're observing something changes it. So, you know, I think we're in a real quincunks, I think would be the term. You start looking at Bigfoot and paranormal subjects and the involvement of science. Hopefully within my lifetime, we're going to see the hatchet be buried somewhat in the two opposite sides of the equation getting together and co-opting their efforts to come to a better understanding of this wonderful reality that we live in. And a book like yours, I think, goes a long way to introduce people to a subject that they may not be attracted to, but have kind of this thing, wow, I really, you know, I wonder what, you know, what is this about? Well, it's a good entry level book, I think, for people interested in the subject. I mean, what more can I say?
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Hey, please tell our listeners if you have, they're interested in more of the stuff that you do, let us know where they find you.
My blog is called The Trailhead, and it's just my name, Averell Seale, A-V-R-E-L-S-E-A-L-E, .wordpress.com. I've got some photos that are kind of like a companion to the book on one page of my blog. My blog is not all, by any means, it's not even mostly cryptozoology. It's just an eclectic range of things that I write about. But this is the latest thing on the blog, and there are some photos if you want to see kind of what the landscape looks like around there and some of the things I spotted.
Hey, you can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can also find two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. You can find Chris O'Brien at OurStrangePlanet.com. You can also find After the Paracast, the other radio show we do, which is kind of an extension of this one or something altogether different. It's unpredictable. It's part of the Paracast Plus package. To learn more, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. And you can also get a version of this show as a member, free of the network ads with better quality audio. We've got videos up there, all sorts of good stuff. Plus.theparacast.com. We're so happy that Chris finally found a way to make Skype work, because I think they were really plotting against us there. They were tricksters over there at Microsoft. Averell Seale, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
A commemorative President Trump dollar for only $5? Yes, the historic Trump dollar starts at only $5 at TrumpDollar.us. Choose from our unique three-coin collection in gold, silver, and copper. The Vote Trump Dollar, Inaugural Trump Dollar, and Make America Great Again Trump Dollar. Available only at TrumpDollar.us. Minted in the USA, our Trump dollars commemorate President Trump's patriotic stand. Order your Trump dollar collection today in time for Christmas delivery at TrumpDollar.us. That's TrumpDollar.us.